Get ready.
Hello, welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace, your host.
And I'm Paul Henderson, your semi-regular guestish co-host.
And if you're joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week and we get to know our guest. It is the real episode 151 of the Weekly Cooldown.
Yeah.
It is April 15th. We took off for,
that prankster holiday.
The April Fool. And then we just took an extra week off. It was a wild week.
We just got sleepy.
Yeah.
We just needed to take a nap.
But we're back. News is kind of slow this week, except for one thing. One thing. One massive thing. But we'll get there. Let's do some headlines first. Here we go. CD Projekt Red confirmed on Thursday that development work for Cyberpunk 2077 will continue, including an expansion set to arrive in 2023. CEO Adam Kaczynski said that they are fully committed to the franchise and, quote, intend to develop it further. There have been many fixes to the game rather than expansions since the game's release in 2020. The most recent fixes to the game appears to have been the updated game for next-gen consoles. Still, the team seems committed to working on expanding the game while also working on a new Witcher game using the recently released Unreal Engine 5.
Fans and non-fans alike know by now that there is a new Kingdom Hearts game on the horizon. In a surprise announcement, we got a brief look at the new art style and a modern-day city setting for Kingdom Hearts 4. According to an interview with the creator Tetsuya Nomura, the game is narrated by characters fans are already familiar with, but who they may have not heard speak before. Additionally, the reaction command from Kingdom Hearts 2 will be back in the fourth iteration of the game. We do not have a release date for Kingdom Hearts 4, but as a reminder, Kingdom Hearts 2 was released in 2005, and Kingdom Hearts 3 was released in 2019. It has been 4 years since the third game, so we're predicting that Kingdom Hearts 4 will come out in 2035.
Okay. You can say that.
That's not exactly what was written down, but that's my best estimate.
That is a great estimate. A new Sonic game is being released.
I'm excited for that PlayStation 7 game.
A new Sonic game is being released, but you have to log into Roblox to play it.
What?
Sonic Speed Simulator is a recreation of some recognizable Sonic the Hedgehog locations. The creators of the game, known as GameFam Studios, #GameFam, creates experiences like this specifically for Roblox. Uh-huh. The studio has the blessing of both Sega and Roblox.
Oh.
According to GameFam, the game will be available to play for free on April 16th.
Well, you know, the Sonic franchise has had a long, rich history of fan games being made like this. I can't say I expected game fans being made like this, but... That was a bad joke.
I will not cut it out.
I know you won't ever do.
I will not cut it out. Sonic Frontiers is still on the horizon, though, so,
that game's gonna
sometime this year, you'll have a look at open-world Sonic game.
I have zero faith in Sonic Frontiers being good, and I'm absolutely buying it day one anyway.
Yeah, who knows what you're gonna get, but you know what?
I've never played a Sonic game, but honestly, I really respect how Sonic is just, there's nothing held holy about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For worse or for worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And I mean, Sonic fans are some of the most diehard fans out there, though.
Like,
true.
They
stick with it.
Hi, I'm Paul Henderson. Nice to meet you. I'm a big Sonic fan.
Are you?
Yeah.
I did not know that. Did you play 06?
I've played all the Sonic games pretty much. What games have I not played in this series? I haven't played Sonic Colors.
Really?
The console version of Sonic Colors. And I never played the 360 PS3 version of Sonic Unleashed. I played the Sonic Wii version, which those are two distinct games. Those are two completely different games. If you don't know, there were two versions of Sonic Unleashed made, one for the Wii and one for the PS3 and Xbox 360. It's buck wild. They were completely different games. It's buck wild. Go look it up. They have similarities between the two. I think they have the same plot, like, but like the games, they're two different games. It's insane.
What was the one that you played in front of me? Was it Adventure 2?
It was Sonic Adventure 2, yeah.
Okay.
I asked if you played Sonic 06, and then my immediate reaction was, this is Paul.
Yeah, come on. Here's my hot take. I don't think Sonic 06 is actually that bad. I mean, it's not good. Whoa. Don't get me wrong. It's not good. But, like, it's not the complete dog shit that everybody... It could be a lot worse. It could be Sonic Forces.
Fair enough.
I think Sonic Forces is worse than Sonic 06. There's my hot take.
Who do we have as a guest?
Hi.
Who's been speaking this whole time?
Hi, I'm Jessica Fly.
Oh, that rhymes.
I am. It does. How do you want me to introduce myself?
Oh, however you feel comfortable.
What do you do? What do you feel comfortable talking about?
What do you want the world to know?
All right. I am Jessica Fly. I'm a QA specialist at Alchemy Labs.
What? Alchemy Labs? I heard they just did something really cool recently.
Yeah, they might have.
Yes, please tell us what Alchemy Labs is.
Yeah.
So Alchemy Labs is a VR game studio. They made, we made Job Simulator and Vacation Simulator, and we recently just released a new game called Cosmonius High, and it's about aliens and high school.
It's very cute.
It is very cute.
I was lucky enough, Jessica, before I started working at Blizzard and I wasn't beheld to things like non-competes, I got to playtest it. And even just like well out before it was going to be released, I could tell that they had something special going. It was very cute even at the time.
God, that was a really early version of the game that we had you test too.
Yeah, that was like that was a while back. I don't know how much I can talk about it. I'm not gonna say too much, but it was pretty early on, and I could already tell it was very, very cool.
looks cool. Where can people tell us more about Cosmonius High first? What is there a story?
So basically the story is it's the first day of class for you. You're a species that the rest of these other species have never met before. And you crash land the school, essentially, on the first day. The AI in the school is going haywire, and you have to adapt powers to kind of fix the problems and kind of figure out what's going wrong with the school.
You say adapt powers. What does that mean exactly?
So Prismy, which is the species that you are, Prismies adapt powers under stress. So when you crash land the school, they're like the bus is on fire and everything, and so you adapt a power for fluid, and you can put the fire out with water.
Oh.
Yeah. And throughout the game, you get 8 powers, I think it is.
I'm gonna roll that you would know better than I would.
This sounds very cool. And one thing I'm all about is like unlockable powers throughout video games. So
it's very Metroidvania by the way of Super Mario 64, if that makes sense. So the whole school has like a hub area that you can travel through. And as you go through it, you go to different classrooms to get credits for stuff. And the credits you can use to unlock, like, different doors and stuff, along with the power-ups that you get from the different classes and different scenarios that you're put into. So it's like, as you get more credits, you get access to more areas. As you get access to more areas give you access to more powers. And it's sort of a self-feeding loop of progression.
Yeah.
I love it.
Throughout the school, you get to, like, there's, like, a bunch of characters. And, like, there's 3 different species. Everyone's a different, like all these different characters, like you get to meet all of them and learn about their personalities.
Yeah, it's super great.
They're all super cute and adorable.
They're adorable.
I love them.
Very good.
And several of them are voiced by mutual friends of ours.
Of course they are.
Are all the characters voiced by people that work at Alchemy?
No.
No.
I think we've only got 5 internal voice actors.
That makes sense. Because I know, if I'm correct on this, and correct me if I'm wrong, historically, Alchemy typically does all in-house voice acting for their games, right?
No.
No? I am wrong on that. Okay.
So I think maybe for Job Simulator we did. I don't know a ton about the voice acting, but I know for Vacation Simulator, at the very least, Vacation Bot and Efficiency Bot were voiced by SAG actors.
Okay.
Vacation Bot was voiced by Erika Ishii, and I can't remember who did. I can't remember who did Efficiency Bot.
That's still pretty cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Enough, however, about Cosmonius High. We're here.
Yeah, that's not funny.
What have you been playing this week, Jess?
Yeah, I've been playing nothing because I took the entire week off after I launched a game.
That is
fair. You didn't play any games this week. You just completely conked out, huh?
I play video games for a living. I didn't want to touch one.
Can't relate.
I think I can in a way. That's actually funny.
That's such a funny philosophical difference between the two of us because Jess, you play video games for a living. We both do, actually, of course.
Yeah.
We test video games. We both do QA. And so Jess is like, she's just released a game, and I'm sure you've been also like going super hard getting the game ready to go.
Yeah.
And so you just need to like disconnect from everything. Me, my relaxation from working on Hearthstone all day is I play a different video game. It doesn't matter what video game it is. It's usually Final Fantasy 14, but it can't be Hearthstone unless I'm just like really hankering. Like we just released the Sunken City, Voyage to the Sunken City expansion. And even though I've been working on it this whole time, you know, it got out on live. I just want to play it because I want to see how other people are handling the expansion and how people are enjoying it. And it's been really fun so far.
Well, actually, no, it is kind of funny because I think it was on like Friday of last week. I had the day off, and sure. Someone had taken. I hold the number one speedrun record for Cosmonius High. And someone took my record from me, and so on Friday, I spent like 3 hours getting it back.
Oh my god. I mean, you gotta defend your title.
Exactly.
So, I get it.
Let me actually see what the current record is. I'm curious.
I get it.
Cosmonius High.
So,
I'm still Jess.
Yeah, so you own the record for beating it?
The record for beating it the fastest, yes.
Yeah, 80%. There is an Amogus percent.
There is.
Which, I don't know what that is. Is that just how fast you can get the...
It's basically you try to see the Among Us imposter as fast as you can.
I see.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there it is. Wonderful.
Hilarious.
But like, as far as like games are concerned, I just haven't really been like. There's nothing that I've been really wanting to play lately.
That's fair. Yeah, I get it. What
was the last non-Cosmonius High game you played? Period. Then, if you can remember through like, the haze,
I'm gonna consider non-party games.
Sure.
Like I don't consider Smash and.
I mean, party games are fine too.
Yeah, but it's like these are the games that I play when like you know it's just people hanging out.
Okay.
What was the last game that I played?
Oh, really? No. That's the games police coming after you.
Oh, no.
For not knowing your games.
They found out that I'm a fake gamer. Yeah.
Well, your turn to remember. The last game, I've just been in full-on Final Fantasy 14 mode for the past few days. New patch just dropped, and so the other day we did the raid. I actually did the new raid twice in a row with two different groups that were doing it blind. And now I actually got I think I might have a knack towards progging in raids in Final Fantasy. I feel like I'm getting really good at spotting mechanics and calling them out.
Did you do both? Like, did you do the regular raid and the Alliance raid?
I did the Alliance. There's no regular raid for this patch, but I completed all the regular raids, and I haven't done any of the Savage tier raids, but I did run EX2. I'm gonna refrain from saying the name of it for spoiler reasons, but I did run EX2 blind with a group, and we figured out a lot of the mechanics progging through that, and I felt really good about it because I've never progged a raid before, and we actually I personally solved quite a few of the mechanics on my own, and I felt really good about it.
I had a really good time doing the Alliance raid blind with a bunch of my friends, and streaming it to some other friends too.
Oh shit.
Yes. We were all just trying to figure out the mechanics together, and people got to watch me heal like super bad.
Nice.
I love Sage, but I don't know what I'm doing most of the time when I heal on any job.
That's
just
fine.
Like,
you don't have to know what you're doing to heal. Just push buttons.
Just push buttons.
There's no rotation. Also, I did play a lot of Strive this week. Specifically, there is a local arcade that's run out of some dude's garage called Star 69. Mm. And he runs that like once a week. He does like poker games and stuff. And basically just me and another guy in an arcade cabinet just bash it out and strive for like three hours. And I actually didn't do too bad. That was the surprising part. They were somebody who clearly had a lot of experience, but I was playing Leo as always. So I just sort of pushed buttons until they died. And it usually worked out. I still lost more than I won, but I didn't lose a ton.
That's good. You're getting better than me. Jess, have you figured out what game you've played?
I think I have. All right. The most recent, the game that I have last played, just, you know, just for fun and not like with anyone, was Grim Fandango on the PS5.
Okay. Very good.
How was it?
It's great. I played Grim Fandango like when I was a kid too, but I was a dumb kid, so I didn't know what to do. Yeah.
That was a game from like some great games though.
That was a game from like the 90s. Does it mm-hmm. hold up in terms of like writing and stuff?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like and what actually is really interesting is that those old like 90s PC games where like everything is like super pre-rendered in like the backgrounds and everything. And so they're able to like upscale the static like pre-rendering, but mm-hmm. like the animations, it's like it's still really crusty and like the old ones, but it's kind of charming in a way and I love it.
Very cool.
That's great.
Shout out to Double Fine, who makes just great games.
I still need to play Psychonauts 2.
So do I, but
I need to finish Psychonauts 2. It's fantastic.
It's you know it's going to be great.
I feel bad because I was so excited about it for so long, and then it finally came out, and I was like, well, I mean, it's out now. I can play it whenever.
Yeah. I replayed Psychonauts 1 and finally played the Rhombus of Ruin, the VR game, in preparation. Ooh. And then I got really far into Psychonauts 2, and then I just stopped playing for some reason.
God.
There you go. There you go. If you want to know what I've been playing, you need only look at my Twitter, but I will tell you anyway.
Yeah.
Lots and lots and lots of Final Fantasy 14. Lots more of Magic the Gathering.
Oh!
I'm blaming myself for the news that's happened this week, because I was like, you know what, I should play Overwatch, and then, bad things happen.
I'm going to be getting back into paper Magic soon, and I'm terrified.
Ooh.
I'm going to a pre-release with a friend of mine from work and an old improv friend of mine on the 22nd, and I've never been to a pre-release before, and I haven't bought paper Magic cards since 2015.
Yeah, so, I still have some of mine.
Yeah, I actually bought a deck box just for the purpose of the pre-release, because, well, first of all, we're going to be playing limited, so it's not like I'm going to need to bring cards. I'll be fine on that front, but I've got a deck box which is just for my commander deck that I've had for years. I've only played with this deck like twice, and I don't really know any of the cards in it. I just have this collection of cards. Actually, I probably should practice with it a little bit to make sure I actually know what's in my deck, because I know at least a few of these cards are fetch cards, like cards that you need to know what you're looking for to play these cards.
I could not play paper Magic, because that would mean I would have to memorize what things do, and Magic the Gathering Arena does that for me.
Yes, you don't have to remember shit.
I'm good with the online version. Also, I don't have to buy cards, so I'm saving myself a couple extra dollars. Even though I've been to my local Rite Aid many times, and the latest deck pack has been staring me in the face like, buy me, you son of a bitch! Yep. And I just can't bring myself to do it.
Streets of New Capenna is coming out on the 26th, and I'll be going to the pre-release on the 22nd, and I am anxious because I am bad at deck building.
Yeah.
You would think, as somebody who works on a card game, I would be good at deck building, but no, I am not. I have never been good at deck building. I have been net decking in Hearthstone for the past 8 years.
Oh my god!
And you're living. And I'm living. Thriving.
Actually,
so I have never played Magic before.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Technically, so my brother, who is 7.5 years older than me, when I was like in elementary school, he tried to teach me once, and I just did not retain anything from that.
Yeah.
So the thing about Magic is that the baseline rules are pretty simple. Like, if you if cards didn't have any text on them and you were just playing with creatures, it would be very, very simple. The issue is remembering how all the text interacts with each other as well.
Yeah.
But the actual just baseline, like, put down a land, play a creature, attack, defend, go next, untap, upkeep, draw, play a creature, attack with a land. That whole bit is very simple.
Yeah.
But remembering how all the cards can interact with each other and how the rules can be modified by that, that's when shit starts getting complicated.
Yep. It's wild.
And that's why Magic the Gathering Arena is great, is because you don't have to remember any of that
shit. Just put the card down, hope it works.
Yep.
Good luck, everybody else.
It's actually, it's kind of funny. So my friend was talking to me earlier about how Magic the Gathering, like, they make this game design with, like, every single new pack, they make it to where there's, like, casual player type cards, competitive player type cards, and ones for, like, really creative players that just want to, like, fuck it up.
Yeah.
That's the Timmy Jimmy Spike theory, which is those are the three main archetypes, and then there's like ones in between, which are like Johnny or whatever, which are like combinations of the different ones.
Yeah.
I am very much
my names.
I'm very much a big splashy player, which I think is the Johnny or Jimmy. I'm going to look it up because I can't remember.
I will never know what this is. I just kind of
build
a theme and go with it. My latest theme is vehicles. Love those.
Timmy Johnny Spike is what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
I am very much a Johnny. I'm somewhere between a Johnny and a Spike because I really like the big splashy cards with big splashy effects, but also I do like winning the video game.
And so, listener, if you want to know what the hell they're talking about, google.com is your best friend.
That's that was something that was coined by I think Mark Rosewater, actually, for one of the lead designers for Magic. They were going through those profiles forever, trying to figure out how they want to categorize the different types of players, and they've got other categorizations for players as well. It's like first time people who are interested, people who are invested, veteran players, like those, that kind of stuff as well, which is more the type of audience that they're looking at versus the type of player that they're looking at. But it's interesting how they categorize and try to target these types of players. Like, pre-releases are meant for both interested players and for core players who have been playing for a while. That's a major part of their philosophy behind the different events that they do.
Which one is Ooga Booga put card on field?
That's probably that... drafting.
Love it. I'm that one.
Because I'm also that. I play Face Hunter in Hearthstone for context, which is just the most aggressive. I attack face, no need to trade. Go kill opponent. Board control not important. That's the kind of game I play.
Very good. Very good. We have to take a break, but remember, listener, there is some interesting news on the other side of the break, so make sure you come back because you won't want to miss it. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Hello, adventurers. Do you enjoy stories about monsters and magic? Welcome to Autumn Falls, a cozy small town in the Pacific Northwest. There's mysteries to uncover, but first, let's check in with our heroes.
He's scooping about, like he probably shouldn't be. I'm Hugo Rashad. Fighting monsters isn't the safest thing.
Bright pink, over-caffeinated, it's me, Bethany Miller. When you said disaster queer, every single person looked away.
Can I get verbal confirmation that none of you will say anything about what you saw today? Agent Lonnie Whitaker, reporting in from the Eastie Agency. Lucky for you all, Lonnie is very cool.
It's really weird and bizarre and a whole lot of feeling stuff that I did not want to get into, so I kind of booked it out of there. I'm Raven Eugenia. Every coherent thought has just left my brain.
I just wanted to be friends because that's what everyone else was doing.
My name is Damien Edgecrest. I want to be like these people, you know?
Clearly talking to the tree is not a normal thing that people can do.
I'm Felicity Starnbrook. Surprisingly, I'm useful.
If I'm being perfectly honest, I don't want people knowing what I am. I'm Aiden Brightwood. Well, that was not the magic I expected to be practicing.
If you'd like to join our heroes as we play Monster of the Week, then check out the Storyteller Squad, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Let's have an adventure.
Hey everybody, Paul here. Before we go into this next segment, I just wanted to record this little thing post-recording of this episode. I wanted to clarify one thing just to make 100% sure I was clear on this. All the statements that I make in today's episode are purely representing myself. I'm not speaking on behalf of anybody related to a better ABK or anybody at Activision Blizzard. These are purely my opinions, all onto my own. I'm just recording this to completely cover my ass because this is stuff that's very important to me, but also I want to keep my job. Anyway.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the show. So, I'm not really even sure where to start. So, like I said, I'm pretty sure this is my fault. I started playing Overwatch, and then the universe was like, let's put an end to that. So, we're just going to get started. A lawyer for the state of California has resigned. As we are just learning that, according to them, California Governor Gavin Newsom had begun to interfere with the lawsuit against Activision Blizzard. Assistant Chief Counsel Melanie Proctor said that Newsom is working with Activision in a capacity that, quote, mimicked the interest of Activision's counsel. Newsom's office and spokeswoman Erin Milan said that the allegation was categorically false. So, I mean, that's the bare bones of it, right?
Yeah. So, before I go into this, I am, of course, as always, yes, contractually please. Obligated to let our good listeners know that I am a contracted employee by Blizzard Entertainment, and any opinions that I state are my own opinions or do not reflect upon the company. Fuck this!
Yeah.
Fuck all of this!
It seemed like we were coming at a bend, right? Things like... You know, Microsoft bought Activision Blizzard. People were starting to separate them as, like, different things. We were all starting to, like, breathe a little sigh of relief or something like that.
Yeah, the DFAEH's lawsuit was ultimately resolved in a settlement, which, in my opinion, was not enough money, but I'm neither here nor there. It got resolved. And, now it comes out that Chief Counsel Janet Whipper, who tried to protect the agency's independence, I'm reading directly off the Destructoid article right now, tried to essentially keep the agency separate from any conflicts of interests. And as a result, they were terminated. They were fired from the council as a result of them trying to keep the council separate from any conflict of interest. And so that is why the lawyer resigned. They resigned in protest. They didn't resign because they were ashamed. Yep. They resigned in protest of the fact that this person was let go. I can't remember the exact details off the top of my head. I'm just looking through here. But apparently Governor Newsom, the governor of California, had direct ties with allegedly had ties with the C-suite of Activision and worked to protect the company's interests allegedly. Now, if these allegations are true, and it's possible there may be some merit to them, this is bullshit. And I don't think I can accurately state or express how incredibly upset I am about this. This is so, without going into too much detail to protect, you know, the people who I am working with who are affected by this, this has been rough. I mean, anybody looking from the outside in can see that whenever news about your company comes out that your company has been engaging in widespread sexual and discriminatory misconduct, the people inside of that aren't going to be having the best time. Me personally, I started working contracting at Blizzard about 2 weeks before this news all, no, not 2 weeks. It was about a month before this news all came out. So I was like, I was feeling really good. I felt like I was doing good in my job. And then news of a lawsuit dropped about the company that I was feeling very proud to work at. And then I took like 2 days off work to process it because holy shit.
Yep.
This is, by the way, I want to add, this is the first time I've actually been able to talk about the lawsuit on the show. Not because I've been avoiding it, but just because for some reason, every single time this has been in the news, I've managed to miss an episode talking about it. This was not on purpose. This was not planned. I wasn't intentionally dodging this. It just kept happening. So this is just another notch on the bullshit poll that has been the past year for Activision Blizzard, which, I mean, they've had other controversies in the past. Do I say we've had other controversies in the past? I wasn't part of the company when those happened, but I mean, I am part of the company to some extent. I'm contracted. I'm not full-time yet, but I mean, the company that I am a part of has had a lot of issues in the past. And this is just another thing that they are dealing with, that we are dealing with, that somebody is dealing with. No, I'm going to say they, because this is the C-suite's fucking problem. They are the ones who are causing these issues in particular. I have complicated feelings and emotions on this, y'all. So, a couple years ago on this show, there were a bunch of layoffs related to esports. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember exactly what I said back at the time, but I believe I said something along the lines of, if I was another employee working at Blizzard at the time, I would be actively shitting myself. Is what I said. Something along those lines. It was a very profound moment that I remember having a rant about. And I gotta say, the past 9 months has been a lot of shitting myself. Just a lot of like trying to figure out what this means as an employee of this company. And for the record, I do want to state, I am strictly talking about working conditions, which if anybody from Blizzard who is concerned about this happens to be listening, is a legally protected thing to talk about. I'm not talking about anything that's under NDA or internal or lockdown. This is all about working conditions and the working conditions I've been dealing with. Protecting my own ass there. And this is why there has been such a major drive to unionize. If you have been following on social media, there is a social media account called A Better ABK, which is essentially a account that speaks on behalf of a large portion of a portion of ABK, Activision Blizzard King employees that are pushing for social and cultural change within the studios at ABK, and at least in part were a organizing factor in the union that is being formed at Raven Studios. And so this has just been a long ongoing terrible shit show that has been going on since August of last year,
at least.
This is just another step in the process. If the allegations are true, Governor Newsom should be ashamed of themselves and he should step down immediately. I still think Bobby Kotick should resign. I've been saying that publicly and privately for the past 9 months. I will stand by that until the day I fucking die. And this shit sucks. That's all I've got to say about that.
Yeah, well, that was all bottled up.
I've been wanting to say this shit on the podcast for the past 9 months, man.
You got seven minutes of it.
Yeah.
Feels good. Jess, any first thoughts?
Honestly, I don't think I can really add anything that Paul hasn't already said.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And it's true. I mean, Newsom aside, I do want to express just my disappointment with him because, you know, we, and I say we as like people on the left, really like, you know, kind of looked up to his leadership in California on so many things.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He won the fucking recall election, right?
Yeah. He, so many things, being a good character kind of politician. Then he starts like tripping up a lot, and that led up to the recall election, and now this. I don't often put my trust in people, especially politicians, but like for a while I was like, Newsom's cool, he's one of the you know, the good guys. He clearly knows what he's doing. He's holding people to account, except for himself. And it always seems to turn out that way. So I guess I kind of agree there. I think Newsom needs to take a back seat, or maybe just not consider running again when he's up for re-election, because, like, it's too much now.
Yeah.
It's just too much. In the same respect, I want to say to the Activision Blizzard people out there that, like, I feel the pain. I know what it's like to have your company kind of blasted on the front page for a while. And I know how much you like your jobs, like your jobs, not necessarily the person or people you work for, but your jobs. And it sucks. It really does. Hopefully, this is like the last notch in that pole of bullshit, but
I have some bad news for you there, Commodus. It's not gonna, this isn't it.
No, yeah. It has to be.
I hope
they're gonna
right.
learn their lesson. They're never gonna
do this again. Nothing bad will ever happen again. Bobby Kotick will resign, we'll get a new board of directors, and everything will be great going forward.
We can ethically play games again.
Oh, well, okay, let's not get ahead of ourselves. That's there's ethical, no such thing as ethically playing video games. All video games are bad.
This is why I like grit my teeth when I play Overwatch now. I'm just like,
you must have some rock steady jaws, man.
Yeah, I go to the dentist.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's what's going on over at Activision Blizzard in California, and Mr. Gavin Newsom, whose name has not been in video games for a while, is now in the headlines.
Did I say Greg Newsom earlier?
I don't think so.
I'm not sure.
I hope not.
I hope not. If I said Greg Newsom, I'm an idiot.
Listen here, Greg Newsom.
Gregory Newsom.
I'm coming for you.
Hey, you, listener, Greg Newsom, you know what you did.
You leave him alone.
Gregory knows what he did.
Gregory Newsom. Unrelated to Gavin.
QuakeCon!
We have some other company news.
I can read about this one. Bethesda has announced that QuakeCon will remain online only this year, and for what? Hey, Jace, what is this the reading of this? Has announced that QuakeCon will remain online only this year and for the last year?
That is correct.
What does that mean?
It's only for this year, and then the next year they're going to be 2023.
This is the last year that it'll
So what you're saying is Bethesda has announced that QuakeCon will remain only this year, but this will be the last year they will be online.
Yeah, I said it.
They pointed to the pandemic as their reasoning and told fans that it was a difficult and unfortunate decision, but reassured fans that they are committed to a full in-person return in 2023. We'll see about that. Players of Quake and other Bethesda fans can still participate in the Bring Your Own Computer gathering, though how that will work virtually is yet to be seen. As well as other meetups, charity opportunities, and giveaways this August 18th to the 20th. I love online LAN events. Those are my favorite kinds of LAN events.
Very excited for online LAN.
Hell yeah, okay. LAN party. Everybody hop into my Discord server.
So no, wait. This is how you do a bring your own computer gathering online. You have to bring your computer to another room in your house.
Another room in your house. Set it up.
Go. Yeah, like,
emulate the experience of bringing your tower to a LAN party.
Put it on the dining table or coffee table, and just make it a really awful rig.
Join Discord on your smartphone.
Exactly, yeah. And,
good lord.
You know, just make it really uncomfortable. And that's, you know, you'll just...
There you go.
It'll feel like the exact same.
Yeah, or bring it to a library.
Mm. Even better.
Man, I went to a LAN party in, like, 2016. It was it 2016, 2017? It was DreamHack Austin, the last DreamHack Austin before they stopped coming to Austin because the Austin Convention Center royally fucked up. And, man, it was fun, but also, God, it was a pain in the ass.
LAN
I didn't even bring my own computer. I was just helping a friend of mine run his stuff, and it was...
I don't think I've had one of those since college.
I can't remember the last one I went
If you've ever been to a DreamHack's whole thing is it's basically a convention LAN party. They have a massive square of computers where desks that you can buy space for, and you can essentially bring your computer and set it up there for 3 days. They've got, like, guards watching it so that, that people won't just run in and take shit. And usually it works. And it's a lot of fun. It's a good time. Obviously, you don't... you typically don't leave all the expensive shit. You usually carry that with you, but, like, mm-hmm. you'll leave your tower and your monitor there.
I think the last time I went to a LAN party was in high school, honestly.
Wow.
It's been so long.
It's been a while.
So long. But we are... I'm glad we're actually talking about LAN parties, because this is also, like, how we've been living, especially because of COVID.
Yeah.
Not as much in-person events, cons. PAX East is happening still next week in person. But there's very little in the way of in-person gatherings right now because we're still kind of iffy about COVID.
Yep.
So E3, we learned just a couple weeks ago.
Completely cut.
Canceled. Gone. This year.
Mm-hmm.
Likely because many... many companies who usually showcase there, who usually do the big grand thing, are doing their own. And they're all doing it virtually. They have no reason to, I guess, show up at E3 and spend all that money. Remember, I think the last really big kind of reveal we got that was, like, super flashy and, you know, made a really big deal of itself was The Last of Us 2.
After they like that whole setup, like, for that.
Yeah. And then after that, it was COVID times. And we went all digital, except for E3 having no event in 2020 and then doing it in 2021. And now, again, nothing in 2022. So, like, is this our future? Like, is there no more E3?
I kind of feel like the day of the marquee game announcement event, the big one, might be in the past. I think we've reached that point. I mean, if E3 is dead and gone, which they claim E3 is coming back next year, but
I don't know.
It's twofold, right? Because on one hand, people have been saying E3 has been dying since, like, 2006.
Yeah,
that's what people have been saying, and it's like, I don't know how I feel about all that. But, like, on the other hand, if they're canceling a digital only event, what went wrong? What is so broken with E3's the company that runs it, infrastructure? I can't remember the name off the top of my head. Excuse me. What went so catastrophically wrong with their infrastructure that they weren't even able to run a digital event? Either they're running out of funding, they're running out of people who want to go to the event, or there's something else going on that we don't know. I'm gonna just use that as a catch-all. If this is the future of E3, the future of E3 looks basically dead in the water. And between Sony and Nintendo doing their regular State of Play events, and Microsoft just kind of doing whatever the fuck they want, people rolling with it.
Yeah.
It kind of feels like the marquee, and publishers now are getting in on the thing too. You know, mm-hmm. Ubisoft's been doing it for a while. They're sort of Square Enix been kind of doing their thing, not as much. Devolver Digital's been kind of setting the standard for what a publisher can do in terms of announcements. Maybe they go a little too far sometimes, but they are setting a standard for sure. It feels like the age of the marquee event for all developers to come together and announce their games is done and dusted. I can't see that really going back to the glory days anymore. Yeah. I think Nintendo was the standard bearer on that when they stopped going to E3 and just started doing their own Nintendo Directs, and that just feels like where things are headed at this point.
Honestly, I can kind of see potentially, like, excuse me, potentially, like, either PAX or GDC becoming bigger in lieu of E3.
Maybe. I can see that, too, because there are some conventions that have sort of acted in that way. Like, this is kind of a unique niche for this, but a lot of fighting games get announced at the end of major fighting tournaments now. Because the guys that developed the fighting games, they know that the only people who give a shit about the fighting games are the people who play the fighting
sure.
games.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Street Fighter VI was announced at the end of, I think, Capcom Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
It was either Capcom Cup or Capcom Pro Tour, something like that. Even, but yeah, one of the major...
specific games, right?
Yeah.
We just got Kingdom Hearts for a anniversary surprise, right?
Yeah. Like,
you know, they're not... I guess that's Square Enix, but it's still focused in on, like, the Kingdom Hearts franchise.
I also feel like the new Pokemon announcement yeah. was also, like, just a sleeper agent type thing.
Well, that's just another aspect of Nintendo kind of yeah. doing whatever the fuck they want. And the Pokemon at this company. Point, they... I mean, Pokemon is still the biggest franchise in the world. I feel like some people lose sight of that. It is literally the largest franchise in the world. It's yeah. wild. I still can't comprehend that. I'm pretty sure that's right. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure. Okay, largest media franchises. Yeah, it's Pokemon.
Oh my god.
Yep.
Pokemon has the at least the highest revenue of anything that has ever been made. $110 Woof. Billion dollars.
Yep.
You know what's in second place?
Yeah.
Hello Kitty. Because you pulled up the same article.
Yeah, exactly. I'm also looking at Wikipedia.
Yeah. Well, it's unfortunate, but it's also, I think, much more convenient and affordable to allow people to kind of just tune in on Twitch and see what's going on.
But we're also not going to get wonderful little moments. Like, I actually literally just today clipped a moment of one of my favorite E3 things.
Yeah.
It's like back in, I think, 2017. It's like Forza 4 during Microsoft's like announcement of it. And at some point, someone in the audience, like, everything's super quiet. And you could just hear this one dude go, "We got a new truck!"
We got a new truck?
Yes, it tickles me every single time.
I love it. See, I thought you were going to say the infamous E3 2013 Peggle 2.
Oh my god.
Peggle
no.
2 is an eternal classic. Peggle 2 will always be one of my favorite announcements. But I think marquee events like that are done. I think every company's doing that thing.
Yeah.
I talk about Nintendo being the standard bearer, but you know, not to be too stuck up my own ass or anything, but Blizzard's also been doing that for a pretty long time with BlizzCon.
I think a lot there were a lot of companies that started to kind of like say, we don't need E3 yeah. anymore. We're just going to do our own thing.
Yeah.
EA, I think, took kind of a head start on that too. With EA Play, which they actually introduced at E3 and then were like, now it's ours. also Epic Games, I believe, kind of decided like, well, no, we'll do our own thing, and we'll launch our own storefront. So how do you like them apples? Yeah, well, it is what it is. Thanks a lot, COVID. You ruined something else and or made it better. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm not Ooh. Sure it's the biggest loss in the world.
Yeah.
I guess not.
It's not like E3 was always the most accessible thing in the world anyway. Like, yeah. nobody could actually go to it unless you were in the industry or were willing to, at later points in the event's life cycle, pay, like, hundreds of dollars to go.
See, that's the thing, though. Like,
for a press pass.
That was, like, Didn't one of the it. Things that I really wanted to do when I got into the industry was to go to E3. And, like, the year that I finally got a pass to it, I wasn't able to go for various reasons. And then the year after that was COVID.
The funny thing is, I really wanted to, because when I went to college, I initially wanted to go into sound design for video games. That was my thing. And I was like, oh, if I get into sound design, I'll be able to work for Valve, and I'll be able to go to E3 with Valve, and it'll be super great. And now I'm like, now that I'm actually here, I just don't give a shit. I'm like, I'm good. It would be cool to go to, like, GDC sometime, but, like,
yeah.
I don't really care that much. I love how Jess and I have the same basic job, but we have such different philosophies and, like, all this shit.
I mean, yeah.
Jess, by the way, I should say, Jess is the reason I got into QA in the first place. I don't think I've pointed that out.
Oh, yeah.
Jess is literally the reason I got into QA, because I told them about some of the stuff I was trying to do, and they were like, dude, you're fucking amazing at video games. You could totally do this. And I was like, oh, I don't know, though. And they were like, yeah, you can, though. And I was like, all right, well,
I think at some point, at one point, like, I came over and you were like, Jess, check out this bug that, I think it was a bug that you'd, like, recreated in a Kirby game.
Yeah. Like, check, oh, yeah, the bug. Crash. The crash.
Yeah. And I was like, why the fuck aren't you QA? Just, just do it.
I said on Twitter one time that my natural fascination with bugs in games and finding them and recreating them or discovering them was the main reason I wanted to get into QA, and I still stand by that.
I just think they're cool. One of my like things is that like anytime someone is wanting to get into like QA and stuff like that, it's just like if you have a fascination with going the wrong way. or if you like to speedrun games, then you're going to be good for QA. Because speedrunning will always be, you know, trying to find bugs in order to go faster.
Oh, yeah. I actually have put my speedrunning experience in my resume for QA. I was like, hey, I used to speedrun Luigi's Mansion for, like, 2 years.
Oh, yeah, it's super valid. Like, it legitimately is.
I actually talked about it in my interview, the initial contract interview I did at Blizzard. One of the major aspects of my interview was just me talking about the process of learning how to speedrun a game.
And it's actually, it kind of feels like vice versa as well. Like, Cosmonauts High is literally the first game I've ever speedrun.
Yeah.
And here we are.
And you're in first place.
Industry people who don't want to go to
E3. Ha. Well, I think Jess still wants to go, right?
I do. But I want to go to, like, E3... being, you know, fun and good and full of things.
Yeah,
I would have been former self.
I would have been more interested to go into E3 in like 2006, but like now it's like I don't really see the point.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, maybe someday we'll change our minds. Maybe someday E3 will be back on the horizon, and maybe someday I will get to be on a panel and not get it rejected.
And if all those things happen or more, we'll talk about it next time on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Wrong podcast. So, as we move along toward the end of the show, we always ask that you, Jess, our listeners, give our listeners a recommendation which game should they be playing or be on the lookout for.
Wait, don't tell me anything.
What game should I be playing or on the lookout for?
I can think of a game.
What is the game that you want to think of?
I mean, I don't know. It's just pretty obvious, I think.
It kind of feels like this is my time, Paul.
Yeah. Say your thing.
Oh god, I don't even know. I haven't really been looking forward to anything or really playing anything recent, so I'm just gonna suggest that everyone play the original Thief, the Deadly Shadows.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jess, you worked on a game that just came out!
Yeah, I'm not gonna, I'm gonna plug that game as well, but I'm not gonna be like, I'll play my new game.
Why not?
Because I think that's stinky.
You think that's you stinky? Go.
That's a valid reason.
You're gonna like my suggestion, then.
What's your suggestion? Okay, well,
let's hear it.
So, Voyage to the Sunken City just came out in Hearthstone. It's a new expansion with 135 new cards. Logging into the game, there are all sorts of new quests. Well, not new quests, but there's new cards. Every class got some interesting stuff. We also had the new core set rotation, which means there are a bunch of new cards. Every class got at least, I think, one new legendary. I'm not 100% on that, but I believe that's the case. So go check out the new core set rotation. Check out the new expansion. And also, there's some new heroes in Duels, the League of Explorers in Duels game mode. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. Shill.
I haven't played it yet, but I am going to plug Crime Site.
Plugging a game you haven't even played yet.
Literally just found out about it.
Listen,
we were talking about it pre-podcast.
There's like three things I love in life. A whodunit, a good detective thing, and PvP. And this game has it all.
You literally don't even know if you're going to like it.
I don't, but I'm going to say everyone else should play it and also tell me if they like it.
Jesus Christ.
Because that's what I'm going to buy it, and I'm going to be like, let's see if I like this, and then I'm going to need everyone else's opinions to form my own. So,
Go at least check out on Steam Crime Site. See if you want to buy it. Buy it if you have $20. That's how much it costs. Play it with your friends or play it with people you hate. I don't care. Just give it a try, and then if you like it, you could tweet at me. You have full permission to let me know if you like the game Crime Site by Konami, ethical consumption, etc. And finally, to finish off this episode, please let us know where we can find you on the internet if you wish to be found, and if you have anything else to plug.
You can find me at Shandrak, Shandrak, on Twitter. And here is where I will plug Cosmonius High Hall. Okay.
All right.
You can find Cosmonius High on Steam and on the Quest 2.
Ooh, perfect. Paul?
You can always find me at Paul's Rockin' Twit on Twitter. My Twitter is temporarily locked down for reasons, but feel free to send me a follow request. I will more than likely accept it. You can also find me over at twitch.tv/Bonzi77, where I am usually streaming Final Fantasy 14, and I may be streaming more Chrono Cross. And by the way, my game suggestion for this week, if you're interested in trying one, the Chrono Cross Remaster just came out on Steam, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. That'll be a good one to try out.
Supa dupa.
I feel like I got things a little backwards.
You did your game suggestion already.
I also just realized that I said the wrong subtitle for Thief.
Wait, what was it?
It's supposed to be Thief the Dark Project, not Thief the Deadly Shadows. That's the third one.
Thief the Deadly Shadows. Nah, fuck that game.
No, the third one's okay.
Nah,
it sucks. It's the EA one that really sucks. We don't talk about that one.
That was the reboot.
Yeah, the reboot, yeah. It makes me want to cry and scream.
Dear Lord.
None of that, please. All right. As always, you can find me at CommyJaceGaming on Twitter, and you can find the Weekly Cooldown on Twitter as well at WKCooldown. Be sure to visit the Weekly Cooldown Facebook page. Visit WKCooldown.com for more news and other episodes and our giveaway. We're doing a giveaway. Did you know?
Yes.
Here's how you're going to know now. We're doing a giveaway. There's a giveaway page on the website. That is WKCooldown.com. If you visit that website, there's some instructions.
Also,
a few of them.
I don't know if I need to disclaimer this or not, but since some of the games that are being given away were made by Activision, those games were not provided by the company. Those are Kami Jace's personal supply.
Literally my hoard of video games. I'm like a dragon. I just got video games. I'm sitting on them. And I don't want any of these. So you can have them in this giveaway found on my on the Weekly Cooldown website. WKCooldown.com is where you'll find that. WKCooldown.com/giveaways, or look on Twitter. I tweet so much about everything, including this giveaway, so go check it out. Hey, I'm also gonna talk your ear off about leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, because you should do that. That's part of the giveaway thing, and if you do it through that, you get entered into a raffle giveaway thing. Do it. There's so many games.
There's a lot of games.
Leave a review. Check out the links in the description, including, of course, our Humble Bundle for this week, and support your favorite charities, and remember, you can also support the show. Our logo and art is done by Corgian of Doghouse Esports. Follow Corgian on Twitter, Doghouse Corgian, DoghouseCorgian. That is Doghouse Corgian on Twitter. Our intro music is done by Riki. Find Riki on Twitter at Dog_noise, DOG_NOISE. That's dog noise, dog_noise on Twitter. That's all for the Weekly Cooldown. I'm Kami Jace.
I'm Paul fucking Unionize Henderson.
I'm Jessica Fly.
And we will see you next week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.